Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 10 of Revelation chapter 10, and we're continuing to look at verses 6 and 7. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And if you've been following along with us, you will remember that we've been discussing the word swear. As God swore to Abraham, he swore concerning his seed. He swore concerning the promised land. And all of those things relate to the gospel. God also swore concerning the people that came out of Egypt, but who murmured against him. They were not truly his people, although they were physical descendants of Abraham. They were not of that promised seed. They were not his elect. And so God swore that they would not enter into his rest, that they would not historically go into the land of Canaan. Now we're looking at a comparison. You could write this down on one side in one column. We have the historical situation with the Israelites in Egypt and the coming out of Egypt. On the other side, you could title it Babylon and as it relates to the world and as God fulfilled these things during the time of the Great Tribulation period. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over them. I just want to finish this. There are five things. Number one, the captivity of the Israelites in Egypt matches the captivity of God's people in Babylon as God commanded to leave the church. And he did so through the book of Jeremiah, and the historical command to the people of Judah was to go into captivity to Babylon, spiritually pointing to go out into the world. That's where the latter rain will be during the Great Tribulation. Number two, the Jews multiplied while in captivity in Egypt. They became a great nation. Likewise, all of God's elect in Babylon of this world during the period of the latter rain, the last 17 years about of the Great Tribulation period, turned into an exceeding multitude, a great multitude from every people and nation and tongue. And so that matches spiritually. Number three, there was a time of great deliverance for the multiplied people, the Israelites in Egypt. God grew them, multiplied them, and at the proper time delivered them with a great deliverance. And that's exactly what God did with the great multitude that came out of great tribulation. The Israelites came out of Egypt, and God's elect came out of great tribulation as the great tribulation period ended after an exact 23 years and 8,400 days on May 21, 2011. And in a spiritual sense, all of those that were redeemed and made white by the blood of the Lamb, that great multitude came out of Babylon. They came out of this world and entered into the kingdom of God. Of course, that is spiritual for now, as they were translated and lifted up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There will be actual entering into God's kingdom in both body and soul after the resurrection. Okay, number four, as soon as the great multitude was delivered from Egypt, they entered into a 40-year testing program by God. And that's when God swore, they will not enter into my rest. And he had them wander in the wilderness for 40 years through many encampments, and they experienced many trials and tribulations. Now, what is important for us to take note of is that God, in saying they will not enter into his rest, was referring to unbelievers that were Jews. And we see in Hebrews 3, it says in verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, if you had asked those Jews, and this is an incredibly large number of the Israelites that came out of Egypt over the age of 20. Actually, there was only a handful, Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, just a handful that were true believers, that were truly born again, that we know of. And the overwhelming majority of them were unbelievers, but not if you ask them. Oh yes, they were a descendant of Abraham. They were faithful. They certainly, would say that they were Israelites indeed. And not from God's perspective, as God looked upon their heart in time after time as he tried them. They failed the test and murmured against him and complained and rebelled. And so God destroyed them over the course of the 40 years. So here's the important thing from our perspective. There was a great multitude of Israelites. They were all delivered. Not one was left behind. They all entered into a 40-year wilderness sojourn. And there were believers, true believers, and unbelievers that were all Jews that experienced the same thing. That God brought the hot sun upon both groups. The same hot sun that shined down upon Korah and Dathan and so forth was the sun that shined down upon Joshua and Moses. And so Joshua and Moses were also experiencing the testing throughout that 40-year period. Now that identifies with what God did on May 21 in 2011. As there was a great multitude, God tells us, that were saved from the nations of the world. And also, there were large numbers of people that identified with this great multitude. They also, for whatever reason, whatever their purposes were, they joined up in believing these things, in handing out the literature concerning these things, and so forth. They began to identify with God's people. And as May 21, 2011 came, a great day of deliverance as God saved all the elect and brought them out of spiritual darkness into the light of the dear Son, the Lord Jesus. Then at that point, God also brought all into testing. And the test, of course, had to do with trusting God and waiting upon God. And as things did not turn out as expected, as had been thought they would, and right away with some, they began to murmur. It's amazing how similar it is. They began to experience in a way, the hot sun as the sun beat down upon them, and they began to immediately distance themselves from the teachings of the Bible that taught and locked in May 21 as Judgment Day from the biblical calendar of history, from the end of the church age, and from other sound teachings of the Word of God. And of course, as time has continued and gone on, and we're approaching several years now, 3 years is coming up since we entered into these days after that tribulation. And over the course of time, more and more people fall away. More and more people return to the church. Some go back to the world. They remember the leeks and the cucumbers, just like some of those Israelites that lusted in the wilderness and desired to return to Egypt. And more gradually they go back to politics. They go back to social gospel. They go back to, whatever their wants and desires, the things that they love about this world. They return and they do not stand fast. They do not remain. And why? Well, because God has sworn, God has taken an oath that not one of these people will, he swore, will enter into his rest. Now, I don't know who are God's elect and who are not God's elect. I don't know who just joined up or who was clinging to these things, but we can know that there is a great similarity between what happened with the Israelites coming out of Egypt and what God did during the time of the Great Tribulation into our present period of judgment. And as God has drawn out Judgment Day. Now, why didn't he just make it a single day? Well, it's according to his sovereign will. Well, why didn't he make it 5 months? Or why didn't he make it a year? Why prolong it for over 4 years and 4 months and 16 days? That's what 1600 days is. It's a period over 4 years long, but it also is a period that breaks down to 40 times 40. Just think about that. Since May 21, 2011, in one sense, it is as though we entered immediately into a period of 40 days. And then you go that 40 days from May 21, and what follows? Another period of 40 days. And then you go through that and another period of 40 days. And that continues 40 times. 40 times 40. Until you get to 1600 days. And the 1600th day, or the 40th times 40th day, is also the day that would be the 10,000th overall day of judgment since May 21, 1988, when judgment began on the churches at the house of God. And that 1600th day, the 40 times 40th, is also the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Isn't that amazing? That one day, October 7th in 2015, has the significance of being the 40th period of 40 days, or 40 times 40. That will be the 40th complete period of 40 days since May 21, 2011. That day also will have the significance of being the 10,000th day since judgment began. And that day will have the further significance of being the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're familiar with the language of the Bible. I will raise them up on the last day, and the Word will judge them on the last day. On the last day, the great day of the feast, we read, and the last day identifies with the end of the world, with the rapture, with the resurrection, everything that relates to the completion, to the final end of all things, of all God's promises, to the completion of the oath that God has sworn, the day when God says time will be no longer, relates very much to that 10,000th day, that 1,600th day also, to the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we can see how all these things are tying in with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is swearing, taking an oath, and how that relates to God's salvation program, and swearing that not one, not a single one of those people that were not truly God's people will enter in. So God has so devised and so designed the Day of Judgment, which is a parallel period of severe testing for the true believers. He has so perfectly developed this period of time that it's a snare upon all the unsaved people of the earth, and it is designed to drive away, to cause those that were hanging on, for whatever reason, to go away, to go to Egypt, to go away from trusting in the Word of God, so they no longer identify with those that endure to the end, with those that continue through the wilderness sojourn, and continue, this is the fifth point, until they reach the promised land of Canaan. Now, the Israelites, after 40 years, not 41 years, not 45 years, but after the 40-year period, they entered into the promised land of Canaan, the land of the oath, the land that God swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would give it to them and to their seed for an everlasting inheritance. And of course, that identifies with the end of the period of testing, the 1600 days, when it is our hope. And it's our expectation. We look true hope towards that day as a genuine possibility that will be the day when God completes His judgment, when God finishes His testing, and when God raises up all those that waited for him and endured to the end, to that last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and those that were alive and remained upon the earth will then be raptured after the Lord resurrects the dead bodies of the saints and joins them with their souls, and then all those living and remaining on the earth will be caught up to be with the Lord. And that is our wonderful hope. And we have comfort from the Bible. This is a legitimate hope. This is not just drawing numbers. It's not just throwing timelines together in any old way. We have to approach a timeline or a time path, something that relates to the end of time, like we would approach any other doctrine in the Word of God. You don't develop a doctrine concerning marriage and divorce in a wishy-washy way. You don't develop a doctrine concerning a woman's role to teach by just throwing out any old verse. You have to carefully examine everything related to it. You don't develop a doctrine of salvation by just too quickly and superficially grabbing a hold of certain scriptures that indicate that anybody can bring salvation to themselves. We have to take everything into consideration and harmonize these things with everything else the Bible has to say. Well, that's how all doctrine is rightly divided. We study to show ourselves approved, someone who rightly divides the Word of God, and then doctrine comes forth carefully. Now, unfortunately, what some people have done in this time of confusion, in this time after May 21, 2011, they just find any number. The Bible talks about 3.5 years. The Bible talks about 1,335 days. The Bible talks about 1,260 days. And they're grabbing left and right and inserting these numbers, May 21, and where does it lead? And that is wrong. That is not how to come to proper doctrine. Well, didn't we do the same thing with the 1,600 days? No. What we do is we read the Bible, we search the Bible, we find, well, here is a passage, a chapter, where God is zeroed in, focused on Judgment Day. And other information in the Bible confirms and establishes that day, beginning on May 21, 2011. And then we see that from that point of May 21, 2011, there is a number like 1,600 furlongs that identifies with that day, May 21, 2011. And then we see how God gives biblical precedent for using things like branches and sheaves and cubits and other things in the Bible that can identify with time. And so we search and we wonder, well, can 1,600 furlongs represent 1,600 days? And if so, what would develop? And then we see everything fit together very well, in an excellent way, just like a hand into the glove, as we've all just come through a very difficult winter and we've had to wear gloves, and if you have a glove that fits very well and you put your hand in it, it's nice and snug. Just, it was made for it. And that's what 1,600 days is in relationship to 8,400 days. The 8,400 days of the judgment on the churches. Put 1,600 together with that and you have that even perfect 10,000 days of judgment. Wow, that completes the judgment. You see, that's what we were looking for. Judgment began at the house of God. What completes it? 1,600 brings us to the number 10,000, which is the number of completeness. And more than that, it lands on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I won't get into discussing that again, that how that identifies with the end of the world. So we need to be careful in developing doctrine. We can't just throw anything out there. We need to allow the Bible to guide us and for God to make identification with key points like Judgment Day and to take a number from Revelation 11 that's talking about the two witnesses and to apply that to Judgment Day. Well, it had no relationship. God wasn't talking about Judgment Day there. He was talking about the judgment that came on the churches when the two witnesses died, but not May 21, 2011. And you can't take a figure out of Revelation 12, with the 1260 days, the woman hides herself in the wilderness. That has nothing to do with Judgment Day and so on. And likewise, the 1335 of Daniel 12, that relates to the ministry period of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's see. We have the 5 points. The fifth point is entering the promised land of Canaan. God's people that remain alive and remain, that endure to the end, just like the Israelites. God whittled them down and whittled them down, and not one, God swore, that believe not would enter into his rest. And likewise, only God's elect will remain and endure to the end and enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Lord willing, when we get together in our next study, we're going to move into verse 7, which speaks of the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. The mystery of God should be finished. And there's a lot of interesting things that God is talking about in that verse. So please join us when we get together with our next Bible study in the book of Revelation.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.